Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Wednesday. This is the 26th of October, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe. And in Cochise County, it's KAPR, AM 930 out of Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web, buckmastershow.com, live streaming of the show there, along with an archive of our previous programs, plus the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. Today's lineup includes a conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham and his Republican opponent Jennifer Rawson. At half past the hour, Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville will be joining us. Then we'll close out the program today with Marana Mayor Ed Honey. Mayor Honey's all excited and ready to talk about Founders Day. It's a big weekend in Marana. Lots of festivities. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. If you are outside of the Tucson area, the toll-free number is 1-866-725-5467. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using our Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And let's get right into our lead-off political discussion. We begin with the two Ward 2 City Council candidates. Democrat Paul Cunningham has been on the council since May of 2010 when he was appointed to fill a vacancy. Mr. Cunningham is challenged by Republican Jennifer Rawson, a retired Xerox manager. Welcome both of you, Paul and Jennifer. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Councilman Cunningham, what would you do specifically to create more economic opportunity in the city of Tucson? And a couple of quick ground rules. Please keep your answers to about 60 to 90 seconds so we can cover a lot of ground here in the half hour.
We're just trying to make Tucson as competitive as we can. We're trying to have quality roads. We're trying to have quality education. We're trying to have infrastructure that gives businesses an opportunity to be viable. The other thing we want to do to attract people to Tucson is to let them know that Tucson is a great place to be, highlight our weather, highlight the type of folks we have, highlight our diversity. We need to keep the message about Tucson positive. I think we've been successful in Ward 2 in the last year. We brought in Major League Soccer, which is going to be it's going to make a dent into the loss of spring training again. I wasn't around to try to keep spring training here, but I think it's still something we can get back. We also want to try to make a dent into some of the other sports programs that we lost over the years, and I think it's really exciting to know that we're going to be having a college all-star football game here as well. So I think we've started to make dents outside of sports. We need to bring that great surplus job provider like a Cox Mobile or a T-Mobile or an AT&T to Tucson. We're going to have one of our assets downtown open or a lot more vacant in the next year, and we really want to be able to make sure that's attractable to Tucson.
That's Democrat Paul Cunningham, now Republican Jennifer Rawson. Ms. Rawson, what would you do to create more economic opportunity in the city of Tucson?
We have to, in fact, improve on our core services so that, in fact, when we bring new businesses to look at Tucson, we show her best light. We show how great she can be. And in order to do that, we must improve the roads. We must improve the police and the fire. We must make sure that we take care of the businesses that we have. In fact, if we don't take care of the businesses that we have, we will in fact not encourage new businesses to come. A recent survey showed that out of 101 cities for business friendliness, Tucson rated 95th. That's under, we are less business friendly than Detroit, Michigan. We desperately need to change the way that the governance of Tucson treats its businesses. We need to make sure that we take a hard look at land use code and the sign code. When we charge $180 for a year to have someone put out a little A-frame sign, that is not business friendly. Business friendly means that, in fact, we encourage businesses that we presently have. And I have spoke to many business people and, in fact, have heard them say how onerous the regulations that presently are used at Tucson, in Tucson city government, are. And my opponent votes 98% of the time with those folks who have made it this way.
Where would the money come from, Ms. Rawson, to fix the roads?
First off, we have had an opportunity to take a look at that. We gave a $37 million amount of money to SunTrans to replace supposedly the HERF funds and those types of things. We did not ask them to cut their budget at all. They, in fact, used some of that money to give their people raises. This is the problems that we are seeing is that, in fact, the people who are in the unions are getting raises, but the people who work for the city are still on furloughs.
Councilman, where would the money come from to get the roads up to where we need them to be?
Economically, as we turn around, some of those sales tax revenues are going to be there. We'll have an increase in what that whole nut for the city is, and hopefully we'll be able to allot some of that to road improvement. We've already started. This past year, we've got the first proactive residential maintenance going on in the streets that starts in Ward 2. We're pretty happy about that. I held my vote on the budget till that could be guaranteed. The other thing is we really need to take a look at the whole pie and understand that there's all kinds of different nuances that go into the budget process. I'm proud of the budget. I think the budget that we passed and that package we passed protected police, protected fire, and kept everything going where it needed to be. And as a result, I was even endorsed by police and fire and the firefighters in this race, and I'm pretty happy with that discussion. I think as we move forward, we'll have a good package next year as well.
12:11 on the Buckmaster Show. We are speaking with Democrat Paul Cunningham, the incumbent Ward 2 City Council candidate, and Republican Jennifer Rawson is the challenger. If you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a question that you would like to pose to the Ward 2 candidates, 790-2040, 790-2040. Councilman, let's stick with you on this first, and then we'll have Republican Rawson answer this question. What would you like to say right now, Paul Cunningham, to set the record straight? Is there something that's been said about you during the campaign that you believe is false? If so, now's your opportunity to give your side of the story and set the record straight.
Well, again, I don't pay attention to a lot of the ads. They're running some ads that are negative, and I think that it's important to just know that I don't think this election should be about negative politicking and dirty politicking. And I want to be above that fray. There's some discussion that I gave money to cronies or something. I don't know what really that's about. Again, I led the fight to fire the city manager because he gave 3 out of the 4,100 people raises. So I got to dismiss it. But at the same time, it's just really important to stay above the fray and try to be positive and say, hey, look, let's take Tucson where we're going to be, but we're not going to be in a situation where we're going to get into debates with misleading political messaging and stuff like that. I don't think there's any room for that, and I think the people of Tucson deserve better.
Ms. Rawson, do you want to set the record straight on something?
Absolutely. In fact, Mr. Cunningham did vote for the budget that reduced the 911 operators. He did vote for the budget that gave the drivers on the SunTrans buses raises, and those people are people who would normally have supported his platform. Those are the cronies that I'm speaking about. What is on is the truth. I feel I have not attacked him personally. I have not gone negative on Paul one little bit. I do not disrespect him in any way. I just feel he doesn't have the necessary life experiences to be able to manage a $1.3 billion budget, which is what Tucson has.
Do you want to follow up on that, Paul Cunningham?
Yeah, I'll just say really quick again that the Teamsters haven't even donated my campaign. I don't know how they could be considered my cronies. I think that's absolutely ludicrous for anybody to say that. But, you know, either way, I'm not going to go there. Bottom line is, above politics, above the fray, we're going to keep it positive. And again, that's why I've been endorsed unilaterally by the Chamber of Commerce, so business, and the Sierra Club, and the Arizona Daily Star, and labor. I mean, I'm just trying to make sure that we're working together in a pragmatic and consensus-building way to make Tucson its best.
Ms. Rawson, a final comment?
I have
on that.
I believe that, in fact, he has received the endorsement. There's no question of that. The piece being is that I don't truly believe that they have looked at the consistent voting of my opponent to be aware that, in fact, he votes with the majority, with the people who have taken us in this direction 98% of the time.
Coming up on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, I think this would be a good time to take a break. When we come back, we will examine downtown in Rio Nuevo and hear from the candidates on that particular subject. And again, if you would like to ask a question, 790-2040, 790-2040, our Buckmaster Show live line is open for you to ask a question of our candidates with me in studio. Stay with us. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
It's 12:19 on the Buckmaster Show. Paul Cunningham is with us, Democrat Ward 2, and Jennifer Rawson, Republican Challenger Ward 2. And let's go right to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jerry has a question for our candidates. Go ahead, Jerry.
Good afternoon. I'd like to know how many of the jobs of the fire department and the police department are they down as a result of the raises they have given to the bus drivers?
Okay, let's hear from Councilman Cunningham on that first.
The short answer is you'd have to take a look at the value of the raise. So the value of the raise is probably right around, I don't know, $800-900 a bus driver, and then you take that and multiply it. So you'd probably come up with enough for, I don't know, 8 or 9 police officers or firefighters. But again, they're different pots of money. Basically, before we even pass the budget, I champion an item that would make sure that no police officers or firefighters would be given pink slips in that year. We had 976 police officers in October of last year. We have 973 now. I'd like to see us get back to 1,000. It's going to take some work, but I think we can get there. And again, I've been a champion of public safety since the beginning. I was a probation officer for 12 years. I used to drive an ambulance in the Army, so I've got a good understanding with police and fire, and we're going to continue to work on making them as strong as possible and making sure that force readiness is there.
Jennifer Rawson, would you like to address Jerry's question?
According to the officers that I was speaking to at the 9/11 memorial, we are at least 145 officers fewer this year than last year. So I double-checked that number with them to be sure that I am not misquoting, and in fact, we are 145 down. Whether or not you can take the money from transit and put it into the public safety bucket is a question. The piece of that you could have done with the money that went to the transit folks is repair the roads. And yes, we did get 6.1 miles of chip seal. That's about 60 linear miles. However, for the most part, you were told that we would have almost no officers. Everything would be cut drastically if you didn't pass the 1 cent sales tax that was asked for. So, in fact, what can you still, and of course that didn't happen, can you trust the folks that have been running your city?
Let's talk a little bit about the central core of the city, Rio Nuevo. The perception, we'll begin with Ms. Rawson on this, the perception is that downtown redevelopment under the umbrella of Rio Nuevo has been a huge disaster, that much of the $240 million spent on the program has been wasted. How would you revive the central core of the city?
I believe in having private enterprise to be able to revise the central core of the city. I believe that if you would reduce the amount of regulation and you reduce the amount of fees and fines, and we move away from that type of mentality to a mentality that encourages business, that values business, that in fact we will see a revitalization. There are folks who are interested in doing things downtown, but they keep running into a 15% or so cost specifically for what happens to happen with the city. Mr. Cunningham has made some good suggestions with regard to utilizing technology to be sure that we are up to date and can move ahead, and I would absolutely agree that that is the way to go, that we should find the efficiencies.
Are we moving, Councilman, in the right direction downtown?
We're moving in the right direction. I don't think we've taken all the steps we need to yet. I think we've still got a little bit ways to go. The east end of downtown is doing very well. A lot of that's thanks to private investment. We have a big construction project with the streetcar going through, which is going to hamper some business. So I'm really concerned about that. It's going to be a real kind of teeter-totter time for us, and we're really going to have to be cognizant of that. The other side we got to look at is making sure that we have empowerment zones, we have business district zones where those regulations aren't for people in the way, especially downtown. Then we've got to talk about the west end of downtown, and that's where we've gotten mired and stuck in a bunch of different proposals that have gotten off the ground and gone off the ground, gotten off the ground, gotten off the ground, and we've kind of had 12 years of that. And the bottom line is we need to find a doable, not so pie in the sky project that is going to actually get done, be properly financed, and followed through on. And if I think we do that, the west end of downtown will be able to thrive as well. And I think that'll give us that urban core that'll make us competitive to that CEO from T-Mobile or AT&T or Biotech that will want to bring their company here. And those are the things that we want to do. And I'm going to keep leading the fight to make that happen.
24 minutes past the hour, we are listening to Democrat Paul Cunningham and Republican Jennifer Rawson. And I think this question, the first, I'm trying to give you each an opportunity to begin the questioning first on a particular question, and I think it's your turn now, Councilman, as far as what separates you from Ms. Rawson, as far as do you see a major issue that has emerged between the two of you that really separates you from her?
I don't think there's a wedge issue between us. The big thing is I think I've got more experience. I've been here 20 years, worked in public safety. I've worked in private sector. I've had my own business. I've worked in nonprofits. I've worked with social workers. I was in the National Guard and drove an ambulance. I just think I've got a pretty unique – I was president of my neighborhood association. I think I've got a pretty unique skill set that brings a lot to the table for something like this. Moreover, and I think the other – I don't know about the wedge issue, but I also bring a real pragmatic consensus building approach to the council. That's why I've got some endorsements that you usually don't see for Democrats, and that is I've tried to be pragmatic and put Tucson first in every vote that I make. I'm going to continue to do that, and I stand by my votes.
Jennifer Rawson, is there a wedge issue?
I don't believe so. There's nothing between us personally. However, when you speak about experience, I in fact have a wealth of experience. I also have been the president of a homeowners association. I have also run my own business when we did a custom feeding business for our cows and pigs. I have also been someone who has managed inventory, contract negotiations, and purchasing, which is a big piece of what I bring to the table that Paul lacks. He did not understand the change orders that were coming through. In fact, the charter does give that ability to the director of finance. What we have managed to get is that they will now inform us, but it does not change who, in fact, has the authority. Understanding the budget, being able to look at it from a very clean perspective, part of that, I believe, is lacking in Paul's experience, that he did not understand that the 6.1 miles of chip and seal was not in the 2012 budget. It was monies that were found after the budget was passed. So I believe that I have a much better understanding of the budget, and the budget is the way that the council controls the city.
And we're down to the final, we'll see, about 3 minutes. So I'm going to give you each kind of the final word here to why folks should vote for Jennifer Rawson. Why should they vote for Republican Rawson?
They should vote for me because we need a change in direction for Tucson. We need someone who has those experiences that I just spoke about. We need someone who, in fact, is not looking for the next office, the next re-election, but is looking to make a difference in Tucson in the next 4 years. I'm retired. I can give you a full-time council person for the part-time job price.
And why should they vote for Paul Cunningham?
Well, I put about 50 hours a week into this job, so I don't know about the full-time thing. I think I do a pretty good job meeting the full-time, probably more so than that. The second part is with the change orders. Again, we were letting the finance department spend money, and I actually championed something that would make them more accountable. I don't know how that makes me a bad budget person. Finally, we got the chip and seal done. We held the budget in there, and just because it got the money from where the money was, the bottom line is it was done, and the money was there. So I'm really having a tough time understanding those arguments. Bottom line is I come here with a pragmatic, consensus-building approach, with an understanding of Tucson's and its needs. It's in my heart. And I bring that consensus building approach along because I've been endorsed by all the folks that I've been endorsed by police, firefighters, labor, business. I've been endorsed by environmentalists. I mean, I don't think you've ever had somebody been endorsed by the Chamber and the Sierra Club in the same year, but I'm happy to claim that title. I think, again, when we talk about pragmatic solutions and we talk about getting things done, looking at the details. I think I've delivered. I'm also really proud of the soccer program we've got. I'm really proud of bringing the bowl game here, and I think this is going to be our decade. I think by the end of this, Tucson's going to be one of the greatest cities in the world, and I look for the opportunity that we can make that happen. And just Bill, thanks for the opportunity to be here today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jennifer Rawson, Republican, for being with us.
Thank you so much, sir.
Good luck to you, and good luck to you, Paul Cunningham, the Democrat incumbent in Ward 2. And that is going to conclude our political debate in Ward 2. Want you to stay with us. We've got the Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville coming along. And then we will have the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey, will be here talking about the Founders Day activities and festivities coming up this weekend. Stay with us on the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Demonstrators in Oakland, California vowed to return to their protest site. Yesterday, police used tear gas to clear hundreds of people from a camp in front of City Hall. Then the two sides clashed again when the protesters tried to go back last night. There's been no grand plan for dealing with the debt crisis yet from European Union leaders, but there is a plan falling into place with pieces of that plan now emerging. The National Hurricane Center in Miami says Rina is weakening as it approaches the northeast coast of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. Updating Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow is up about 150 points at 11,856. The NASDAQ better by 13. The S&P is up 13 points as well. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Well, October is the month that makes us think of cemeteries because of Halloween, which is Monday. Where has this year gone? And Day of the Dead celebration, which is also next week. And Day of the Dead celebration here in Tucson, the All Souls event is November the 6th, a Sunday, and that is going to be a huge event in downtown Tucson. Joining us now is the Buckmaster Show contributor on local history, Ken Scoville, who is a native Arizonan, and he's been a teacher in Tucson for many years. He writes extensively on Tucson history and will be soon working on a new book on Tucson history. Ken, good to see you.
Hi, Bill.
This November All Souls event has really become huge over the last 20 years or so.
It's just the most spectacular event that I think I've ever witnessed, even from going to New York and other cities. And what makes it exciting, it's a celebration about your ancestors and the people that you remember that have passed on, and also a celebration of the mystery of death. But I've never been to an event where you can watch and then you can join in. And when I've gone for like last 8 years, and you watch for a while and you think, I'm going to walk in the parade for a while.
And then join the others on the curb and watch the parade go by, and then when the mood strikes you, join in again.
There's a space. I think I'm going to walk in the parade for a while.
Tell me a little bit about this year's parade, and where can folks get involved? Does it start?
You realize that typically there are 20,000 people downtown for this.
Wow.
So you need to plan your parking spot and things early. The start of the processional is at University Boulevard and 4th Avenue. And you want to probably be there. The parade starts at 6. 5 is normally the gathering spot, but you ought to be getting a parking spot even earlier than that. And people, the major people that set this up, they spend half the year getting this organized. People do papier-mâché heads, and part of the theme of the dress is the skeleton images, just like sort of the traditional Day of the Dead. And then people have photographs of their pets. In fact, this year one of my cats died, so I'm probably going to have a picture of my cat on the procession also.
You'll be honoring
one of my cats.
Your deceased cat during the Day of the Dead celebration. And then again, that is Sunday, November the 6th, downtown Tucson, and it goes on for several hours. And you're suggesting get there very early.
One additional thing I'd like to add, we have time. It planned for about a two-hour event, and the grand finale this year will be on the other side of the freeway on Congress Street near the new Mercado over there. And this is where they take all the pieces of paper and remembrances, and they put it in the urn, raise the urn in the sky, and it burns up in the sky, and they have unbelievable things go on. It's just unbelievable.
Sounds like a great event this year, and all of that really began, I think, in 1990. So they're coming up now on over 20 years of this celebration, which gets bigger and better, the All Souls Procession. You know, Ken, when you talk about October and early November, people do think about cemeteries, and for a historian, cemeteries really do provide an excellent source for the history of a community, don't they?
Very much so. And especially in Tucson, I think a lot of people think of the Evergreen Cemetery, which opened, should I say, for business in 1907. But if you know where Fort Lowell dead ends at Oracle Road, that is one of the older portions of the cemetery. And I used to take classes there all the time, and they would look at the birth and death dates and the designs of the gravestones. But you can do some research, and the students would notice that a lot of people died in 1918, 1919. And then we did some trends, and we did some actual charts on this. And then they discovered that was World War I and the influenza epidemic. So you can trace national events, local events. Some of our great pioneers are buried there.
And the gravestones themselves, of course, they evoke a particular time of when a particular design might have been more popular than others.
Sure. I think a lot of the Victorian era is represented there. One of the sort of more sadder parts is if a child died very young, typically at the top of the gravestone was an carved a little lamb.
Mm, yes, I have seen that on numerous occasions. I have wandered through a few old cemeteries. It's always fun when you're a tourist in some community. I know back east it's always fun to wander through.
Even New York City, they've got some revolutionary era burial still.
And there are cemetery tours in places like New Orleans.
And in Tucson, Evergreen, several times a year, the Arizona Historical Society does tours, which I've gone on several times, and they're excellent.
Burial sites in Tucson really go back a long way, don't they?
Ed Sensely traces the whole evolution of growth and development in Tucson from the Mission community on the west side up near Sentinel Peak, A Mountain, to downtown. In fact, I don't know if you remember 1992 on Alameda downtown. I remember that vividly. They were putting a new gas line in on Alameda Street, and they were doing trenching, and they found 16 burials from the Presidio era. There used to be a chapel right next to where the courthouse with the dome is today.
Where was the cemetery in the early days of the community?
The earliest one was the Presidio site, which was near where the courthouse is today. But during territorial times from the 1860s to 1875, it was the National Cemetery, and that was just west of Stone and north of Alameda. It was originally started for the military when it was based downtown for military burials. Then when Camp Lowell moved out to what we think of as Fort Lowell today, that sort of became the cemetery for everybody.
There was a lot of money. I know that the county, time and money, removing some of the burials and doing the necessary archaeology to document that cemetery that was going to be where the new courthouse is going to be.
New courts building.
Yeah, the new courts building. So a lot of money was spent in time.
Right on that. And I think one of the interesting and again sort of sad parts about Tucson is that cemetery closed in 1875. And we've always had this desire to, well, that's some vacant land we ought to build on. And they said, well, the family members, you're supposed to remove the remains. Well, the remains never got removed. And even then when we built another cemetery designated Court Street, which was south of Speedway and west of Stone, way out of town, and that the city would never grow that far. By 1909, again, that had to close. You were supposed to remove the remains and take them up to Evergreen. And there's houses on top of burials.
When were the Evergreen and Holy Hope cemeteries established?
That was opened in 1907, and that really became, I want to say it was about 240 acres. It was a farm, I think, at one time. And then businessmen got together and said, we need to finally resolve this whole burial situation of constantly moving in this, and this is going to be so far out of town that it will never be surrounded. But again, we know that it's still there today, and it really looks like a cemetery.
You've been watching a lot of these centennial activities as the planning has been going along. How is that? How do you feel the process is going as we get ready to celebrate the 100 years of statehood for Arizona on Valentine's Day 2012?
Right. I know there's going to be major big events in Phoenix, and I think in January, this sort of road show that's going to be a little Hollywood-ish, but that's okay, is going to be down here in Tucson and have a major centennial event. I know there's going to be sort of ongoing events when we do the Dillinger Days, and late January, there's going to be some emphasis on our centennial also.
What book are you going to be working on? I know you're going to be taking a look at our area history.
Well, actually, I'm working on two books, one on our Tucson history, but my major one is how we should be teaching American history in public schools. And I've been working on this probably about 4 years now.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples of how we should be doing it?
Well, gosh, this is... We have an idea of standards, that have things that are supposed to be developed every year. Well, we have way too many standards for teachers or students to remember. And part of my emphasis is really going to be on the Pledge of Allegiance and using that as the structure to teach American history. And I'm piloting that right now and working with students in different classrooms in Tucson.
Ken Scoville is the Buckmaster Show historian on local history. And we want to remind everybody, and Ken, you highly recommend this, the All Souls Procession. This year's event is Sunday, November the 6th in downtown Tucson. Ken suggests getting together a little before 5 o'clock. And that's in front of the Epic Cafe.
Cafe. But and you can't miss it. You will see so many people, so many outfits, so many costumes. People have their pets, everything there.
Yeah, so make sure you wear a great costume.
You can, or you just join in.
All right, join in the parade. Ken Scoville, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll see you at the All Souls Procession on November the 6th. Thanks. Have a great day. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we have the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey. He is waiting in the wings, and we'll be talking with him about the Founders Day festivities coming up in Marana this weekend. Stay with us.
Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
On the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And we, of course, have our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas together. Well, it's a big reach from one end of Southern Arizona to the other, listening to the Buckmaster Show. And we figured out probably in 8 of Arizona's 15 counties, folks can hear what we're doing here live noon to 1, Monday through Friday. Remember, our Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. The wonderful thing about this show, we do interviews, but If there's something that you want to ask, you can always call us on the live line and we will get you on the air and you can ask a question. Really big event coming up in Marana. It's the Founders Day Festival. It begins tomorrow and runs through this Sunday. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show to talk about that and other issues facing the town of Marana is the mayor of the town of Marana, Ed Honey. Mayor Honey, good to see you.
Thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Tell me about Founders Day. Is this how many? Well, my goodness, 34 years?
34 years. Actually, Marana's been around since about 1899, but officially incorporated in 1977. And what the event is supposed to do is honor our past. We originally started as a farming and ranching community. We have since evolved into some very large neighborhoods and large business communities, but we still have farming and ranching, and it's an opportunity for everybody in our region to get together and celebrate our community.
When I first came, the first time that I lived in Tucson would have been the late 60s, coming out here from Chicago to attend the University of Arizona. I remember Marana was, it was basically, I guess, what would you call it? Sort of, it was just an unincorporated farm community, right?
Absolutely. Marana schools really drew kids from three areas: the Marana farming and ranching area, the Asarco mine up at Silverbell, and the El Paso gas pumping station about halfway between Marana and Silverbell in the Tucson Mountains or Silverbell Mountains. It was a very small school back then. In 65, when I graduated, we had 52 seniors.
So you graduated in 1965, and there were how many seniors?
52.
Oh, my goodness. So when the decision then was made that in this, the, with the growth, that it would be a good idea to incorporate the town in the late 70s?
What happened is all fights are over water in Arizona. And what was happening is a lot of the farms in the Avra Valley and the Marana area were being purchased by mainly the city of Tucson. And then the farms were allowed to go fallow. And the city wanted the water that was underneath the land. You know, some of those laws have changed somewhat now. But really, Cortero Marana Irrigation District, which is still in operation in Marana, and the citizens of the town of Marana decided we didn't want all of our farms purchased and all the land to grow up in tumbleweeds. And so we put a plan together in 1976 and incorporated in 1977.
So water was really the basis.
It was the base issue for incorporation, yes.
And how much farming is still going on in Marana?
There's still quite a bit. Quite a bit in northern
Is there a
Marana.
Way you can kind of give us a feel for how much is going on, say, compared to when the community was founded in 1977?
I would say less than half now, but still thousands of acres of cotton farming. Cotton is actually pretty lucrative right now. The prices are, commodity prices are way up, and some of the farmers are doing quite well. So.
And, of course, when the housing industry was booming, Mayor Honing, there was much more of a tendency, probably in a temptation, for some of the farmers to think about selling off their land for housing. But now nobody's doing housing, and you say cotton is doing pretty well, so maybe they should just stay where they are.
What has happened is a lot of the large farmers sold their land to development interest and then leased the land back to farm until the development community was ready to move forward. And many of the large cotton farms in northern Marana actually belong to development interests that will eventually develop into business, industry, and housing.
So the Founders Day, 34th annual Founders Day, there's something for everyone out there. There will be, I guess you're going to start off, there's a dinner on Thursday evening, and well, you can tell us, what are some of the highlights?
Well, the Rotary Club is going to sponsor a dinner on Thursday evening to honor some of the people in our community, and Scott Kilberry will be the MC for that event. We're looking forward to that. On Friday, there will be professional rodeo events, professional women's barrel racing events on that day. Saturday's a big day. We're going to have our parade.
10 a.m. the parade begins.
And there's going to be some really great floats and staff in our office. And Diane, Maricela, and Brianne have been working 10 hours a day for the last couple of weeks getting things ready for that float. In the afternoon, the we're going to honor some of the people from Marana's past with the Alumni Association at 1 o'clock at the Marana Health Center. That's the new 74,000-square-foot facility that was opened a few months ago. And it's really going to be a fun day. There's going to be rodeo events, things for children, things for adults, and it's going to be a really fun activity.
You have festivities really all day from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the park. And what park is that?
That's at Orme Harn Park in northern Marana. And basically a $5 parking fee gets you in free to all the events.
And the festivities do continue through Sunday. The festivities in the park, that event goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. What's this carnival? Is that something special?
We had a carnival in the past for a few years, and then we dropped it. But it's just to add to the festivities. It's a private carnival that was contracted to come in. But that gives a lot of the young people some really fun things to do between some of the events that we're having in the community.
That should be fun. Volunteers Day, you couldn't really run your town, could you, without the volunteers?
I'm really proud of that. This last Saturday, we were going to have a work day and ask for volunteers to do some work in some of the older communities in Marana and some of the older people that maybe didn't have the ability to clean up around some of their yards. We thought we would have about 50 people. We ended up with over 600.
Wow.
When you get 600 people to volunteer in your region, that really tells you a lot about your community. We had Arizona Youth Partnership folks. We had a lot of volunteers from the town. And we had a huge amount of people from the LDS stake in Marana. And when you put 600 people to work on a Saturday, they filled up about 20 large roll-off dumpsters with trimmings and trash to help clean up some of the old neighborhoods in our community.
I'm sure there were a lot of very happy neighbors after.
Very happy, and we're very proud of them as well.
I want to mention also, we're talking about the Founders Day festivities, there's also an important event coming up if anyone is interested in transportation, and I think most of us are. The Tucson Utility Contractors Association will be sponsoring event Friday, November the 4th, 9 a.m. to 12:30 at the Marana Town Hall. Mayor Honing, you're going to be taking part. This is really about, it's called a leadership forum on the future of transportation and infrastructure, the needs, funding, and jobs. The folks from TRIO will be there. Some of the people from Raytheon will be there, Ventana Medical Systems. What message would you like to see come out of this important presentation on the 4th?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to give my very good friend Vic Williams, who's chairman of the Transportation Committee in the legislature, some kudos for scheduling this. He called me a couple months ago and wanted to do this. They're doing three in the state. And what is happening because of the financial crisis in the entire country and in the state of Arizona, we have to be very careful what we spend our monies on for transportation infrastructure in the state of Arizona. So this will be an opportunity in southern Arizona for people both in public and private sector to come in and talk to Vic and his committee and ADOT and all of those folks and make their wishes known so that they can evaluate all the requests and decide where they're going to spend their monies in the next fiscal year.
You got a great lineup. Representative Steve Farley will also be there, the ranking minority member of the House Transportation Committee. Mary Peters, former Secretary of Transportation, she's been an administrator with the Federal Highway Administration. She will also be there. So this gives the public an opportunity to say, really, what kind of priorities do we want for our transportation system?
Absolutely, and we're thrilled to see Mary Peters here. I've had a chance to meet her a couple of times. What a great lady. But it really is an opportunity for people in Pima County and all of southern Arizona, actually Cochise and Santa Cruz and other counties as well, to come and let their needs be known, so that people like Chairman Williams and Ranking Member Farley and those individuals on the Transportation Committee can prioritize what we're going to do in the near future.
What do you put at the top of your priority list? I'm going to put you on the spot here. I've got about a minute to go. Because you'll probably be asked this. You can look at this as a rehearsal for what you will be asked at that meeting. What's your top transportation priority?
You know, really the big thing for us in Marana has been I-10. You know, I-10 is really our main street, about 20 miles from Sunset Road up to about a mile into Pinal County are in Marana. And one of the things we would like to see, and Marana is annexing further north into Pinal County, we're doing some of that right now, is I-10 finished to the point that includes overpasses, interchanges, widening, and everything else.
Trash pickup.
Marana's actually doing that, and that's another issue. But, you know, so that I-10 will flow freely. And that really helps commerce and everything in our region.
It does. Mayor Ed Honey, thank you very much. Have fun at the 34th Annual Founders Day celebrating the founding of Marana. Thanks a lot, Mayor.
And thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
That's always a pleasure. Have a great afternoon. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. We have a great show lined up for you tomorrow. We will be doing our Trio CEO series. We'll be talking to the CEO of the Soul Casinos. That will be one of the highlights from tomorrow's show. That's going to do it, though, today. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.